You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades and aloe vera lubricating strip and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio.
Looking good, pop-up!
Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are going to ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors, we're also making new jobs. Alejandra, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on. I know karate, I know jiu-jitsu, I drive like a gangster when I'm coming to see you.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first.
Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the health care coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
And welcome into the final hour of Chat Lives Matter Night right here live on KLR Radio. I'm one half of the crew, Mr. Rick Robinson. He's the other half, Mr. Ordy Packard, and he is actually one of those civic-minded dudes that spent all night and all day yesterday at the polls, and no, I don't mean strip clubs. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Unverified.
Well,
because I don't have iOS.
Suckers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just I'm you know, I'm just Android Master Race. What can I say?
Honestly, I debated on whether I was going to do it or not, and then I kind of threw it back and forth as to whether I was going to do it for the station account or for me, and then I was like, you know what, screw it. I figured there would still be, you know, a few steps I had to go through. It was actually really easy. But apparently, it's rolled out on Apple first. The funny thing is, yeah. I keep hearing all these people now, well, there's that check mark, and then there's the official check mark, and I'm like, they look the same.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity's
it's like that whole Asian gazelle, African gazelle thing when you look at them at the zoo, and you're like, it's the same gazelle.
I was going to say, there's not, like, I mean, honestly, you know, at this point, if they are, if there is some sort of brouhaha for the original blue check Twitter ID, they could like give them like a gold leaflet frame around theirs or something. I'd be okay with that, I guess.
You know, it's funny. I saw somebody making a big deal of, ooh, now I get the verified feed now. And I'm like, yeah, everybody has that. Everybody. Which is kind of, I mean, it's cool because now I've always wondered, like, you know, sometimes when you have that tweet just go absolutely nuts. And because of the way Twitter is, you know, you can only see like 25 or 30 people who RT'd it or whatever. And you're like, well, none of them are blue checks. Now you can see the verified interaction on it to see that, you know, what blue check boosted you, you know, or whatever. And yeah, but I'm not, I wanted to clarify something. I'm not civic minded. I do it because the VFW Women's Auxiliary puts on a fantastic spread. I was eating Swedish meatballs all day long.
Kind of sounds like it's the beginning of a porn movie title.
Well, that too. But, yeah.
Anyway,
so... No, it's good. It's the... the big, it wasn't really big because there was only two people who really made a big deal out of it. Though one of them motherfucked us the whole way out. Fuck all you vote stealing motherfucking felt markers.
Yeah.
They bleed through. No, they don't. I went through because I had somebody complain at my table. So we went through, we spoiled a ballot to, and we went through 20 pins. We found one of them that maybe if you used it really hard would have bled through to the other side, but that's completely irrelevant because it doesn't go into another checkbox. It can't go into another checkbox. So, yeah, people are way too fucking online.
You know, I mean, they if it's on the internet, it has to be true, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I know that it happened, and I was explaining to the people in my precinct, like, you know, in the last election, there was like one county or one precinct where they used Sharpies instead of the, because there's actual felt pens designed for ballots that won't bleed through.
Yeah.
But I guess they used Sharpies because they didn't get the pins or they ran out of the regular pins or whatever. So that caused the problem. So now all felt pens are Sharpies and all felt pens are bad. Okay.
Well, you know, if they don't know the difference between a felt pen and a Sharpie, should they really be voting in the first place?
Yeah. You know, it's like the one person who's causing a problem at my table, one she wanted to do, and she's all, I'm going to take the ballot with me so I can show all my friends. I was like, I can't let you do that. That's a live ballot. There's nothing to stop you from dropping that ballot in anywhere else and voting twice. I can't let you do that. Well, I'm going to take photos of it. I said, well, I can't really let you do that either. But if these are my only two options, the one that is, you know, better is to just, okay, go ahead and take your pictures, honey. Is that going to calm you down? You feel better now? You had your moment? Other than that, everything went great.
Nice.
Democracy happened.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, at my precinct, it did.
I mean, so I know, and me included, I know everybody was kind of like weirded out by the turnout last night. But the more I start looking at some of this stuff, I think the one thing that I found the most interesting is the undercurrent of red in New York right now. Because at the national level, not much changed in New York. At the state level, there was a lot of red that wasn't there before.
Well, and I'm seeing that, you know, like Colorado, and we're seeing that a lot of other places too. And yeah, it wasn't the huge over the top tsunami that, you know, even I thought that there would be a little bit of that. But I also did, you know, I haven't mentioned it. I mentioned it with Stacy when we were on the Monday night pregame. One of the things that Obama did in clearing the bench was he cleared 1,000 federal, state, and local seats. And at this time, we're seeing the local, you know, we're seeing the, you know, at the state level, you know, the bench clearing there. You know, it's like you said, you know, we're seeing a lot of red at the state assembly, the state senate level, you know.
The one thing that I'm extremely happy about, because we were really scared here, because Kevin Stitt had managed to piss off every single tribe in Oklahoma, and according to the tribes, they, and this is coming from the tribes, we run Oklahoma, y'all just don't realize it, so this dude's done. Well, he's not done. Not only is he not done, he wound up winning by 10 percentage points running against three other people. So, not only is he not done, it was a mandate, so fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah. Not only that, Kendra Horn was trying to, in a special election, take over a Republican-held seat where someone was stepping down. Mark Wayne Mullins won that seat, so that was another potential flip that was held. And Kendra Horn could have been a spoiler because she actually won CD5 in 2018 and then lost it in 2020.
The one that I liked, and this was another one that we were talking about on Monday night, and Stacy could not stop laughing about it, was a chairman of the DCCC, Representative Sean Maloney, lost his election. And this is another New York one, you know, we were talking about. Who knew that saying that, oh, gas prices are high, well, you know what, you should just eat some Chef Boyardee like we did when times got tough.
Commies like Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know.
But so, so here's the thing, and this is something that I want people to think about for a second. And this is something that's kind of solidified with me throughout the day as I've thought about it more and more, because I was pretty despondent last night. I'm not going to lie, because we were expecting, you know, with as bad as the economy was and as bad as everything was, that we should have been able to run away with this, and we didn't. But in some ways, we've done more than we expected to do. Look, the pendulum at the national level swings all the damn time. It's constantly moving. It always swings from one side to the other. We talk about it all the time. Usually the party in power loses seats in the midterms, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So that pendulum is always moving. At the state levels, those things don't happen as often. So since we have seen really strong Republican inroads in New York, we're talking about foundational level shifts in New York at the local and the state levels that, if these people actually do their jobs, could lead to permanent national shifting, or at least a long-term national shifting, because people are going to get a taste of what Republicans do if they do it right. And that's the big if. Now that they have the job, they have to do it, and they have to do what they said they were going to do. And if they do, and it starts working, we may start seeing New York actually shift to purple. Now, granted, it could take forever. I mean, it may be something that doesn't really start manifesting until I'm well out of this chair. But the foundation is now there if they do it right. And this is something that I've been talking about for a long time. If you really want to see change, you have to start at the local level. You have to, because the national level is mercurial. It's going to change every 2 years, one way or the other. For the most part, that usually happens in some form or another. But if you can build a solid foundation at the local level, then you're probably going to get to keep it for a while.
Well, and that's what they're talking about in chat right now, too. Jeff brought up that, you know, what you're seeing in this election is a lot of school boards flipped. And, you know, Mike mentioned that, yeah, that his flipped, too, and ours flipped. And so, yeah, I mean, it's that old leftist axiom, you know, think globally, act locally, but, you know, same thing, you know, think nationally, act locally. And school, you know, the school boards are flipping. I'm seeing a lot of good news at the local level. And it's like we talked about the other night in California on the ground, you didn't see the big tickets. I mean, you saw one for state senator, and that was about it. No yard signs for governor, lieutenant governor, anything. It's like that's conceded, and everybody was focusing on the local, on the county commissioners, on, you know, city councils, on, you know, stuff like that. That's where all the the yard signs were.
Sorry, I'm pulling up the map. It looks like there's been another race called that I missed. We're up to 210 with 16 flip seats. I'm trying to figure out where the race got called that I missed. In the House, we're still sitting at 48-48 as of right now in the Senate, so it's going to probably come down to the Georgia runoff.
Yeah, and it was just reported, too, that Lauren Boebert is taking a narrow lead in her race. She picked up 109 additional votes from Pueblo County. And that's giving her a 36-vote lead for Colorado's third. And this was just 1,800 ballots are yet to be tabulated, and 819 in-person of them, which speaks, you know, better for Boebert. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, the thing that's interesting about the Boebert race is that race was called at, like, 11 o'clock last night.
It was called before that. I mean, you see the dipshits you know, all the ones who just absolutely hate her were talking about how she lost before the polls even closed.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, at one point, I didn't really pay attention to the timestamp. I just know that it was really late last night, and it was, like, pretty early last night. One dude was like, yeah, I've seen enough. She lost. I don't think so, Skippy. Nevada is still currently leaning red. That is important, because if we hold on to that one, that will help with where we are right now.
Well, Nevada's a big deal, too, because that'll show that you can win back your state from Californication. Because Nevada completely got screwed with a giant influx of Californians in the 90s when Vegas boomed. And that's how you got Harry Reid. And that's how you got Nevada's like, how the fuck is Nevada blue? You know, it's, I mean, that's how. So if you see the governor and senators flip to red, then you can see that, one, all the San Franciscans who moved to Reno aren't bringing their politics with them. They were smart enough to leave them at home. And two, Vegas is starting to figure it out. You know, it's like, hey, we left that shit 20 years ago for a reason.
Yeah, it's about time they started figuring it out, though. So the Arizona gubernatorial race is still strongly in play, even though everybody's still, you know, trying to push it towards Katie Hobbs, which that brings up another thing for Arizona for me. And I have to ask this as a legitimate question. How the hell is the sitting Secretary of State running for governor without recusing herself, because she's technically the one in charge of all this bullshit right now?
That would be corruption.
You think?
That's anybody who looks at that and goes, oh, this is fine, is partisan douchebag.
I mean, dude, I wouldn't even care at this point if it was a Republican and they were, you know, the ones in charge and they didn't recuse themselves. I'd be screaming the same shit, because there's no way that election is going to survive a lawsuit. If she wins, they're going to sue. And when they sue, she's going to lose, because it's conflict of interest.
No, it's totally, and, you know, it's, oh, you know, the person responsible for counting the ballots is also one of the, no, that's, you don't do that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's like I said, trust me, I'm a Democrat.
But yeah, so at this point, we are getting closer and closer to the magic number of at least 218. We're 8 seats away at this point. Dems, at this point, with the number of seats that are still in play, Dems would have to run the entire table to get there, and I don't see that happening.
See, now a map I'm seeing, GOP's got 222.
Well, I'm looking at something.
That was that.
Jeff linked in New York.
But this one was updated at 6:30 Eastern, so it may be old news.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would it go backwards?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm showing, this is from New York Post, last updated at 10:23 p.m. Eastern. They're showing 210 Republican, 192 Dem. You might be looking at a forecast page, because that's where they think we're going to land, is about 222.
Yeah, well, I mean, this, I mean, Sam posted this in a DM a little bit ago, and it was from NBC. So, but yeah, that was a while. That was an hour ago. That's forever in election time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even if that was the case, even an hour ago, there's no reason we would have dropped 12 seats somehow, so that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, but even if that's projected, yes. So,
my guess is that's probably a projection, because that's pretty much where they think we're going to land, is somewhere between 220 and 224. When we were talking about picking up as many as 240 to 245, it's definitely not what we thought it was going to be. But at the end of the day, I think this puts two things to bed. One, Donald Trump is not the kingmaker that he told everybody that he was. And even if he tried to be, Aggie and I talked about this last hour, he couldn't do it the way George Soros has been doing it for all these years, because it took forever for anybody to prove that George Soros was actually doing it in the first place, because he was quiet about it. Donald Trump can't shut up long enough to be a kingmaker.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is, Soros had been working on that for 50 years. Trump's been working on it for 50 weeks.
Did we pick up a Senate seat somewhere? According
What's that?
According to CNN Politics, they have us at 49 seats versus Democrats 48.
I don't know. The one I saw is still 48-48, so.
When was that updated last, I guess? Because, yeah, their numbers are a little different. Because they're actually still showing only 208, but then again, it is CNN, so they're probably like, just squeeze it out for as long as you can.
Right.
Give them hope so they keep watching. We actually have people paying attention to us.
That's what she said.
I walked into that one. I fully wow. accept it. Oh, no, I think I figured out what it was. The Alaska Senate race looks like it's been called. at least on CNN anyway, it was still leaning, which is honestly should have been called one way or the other because it was Republican on Republican, so there's no way it wasn't going to fucking go red.
You're right.
I'm just saying. But yeah, that everybody else is still showing it leaning red because they were still fighting it out with each other. I'm like, does it really matter when it's Republican on Republican? It's gonna be red, so we should just call that one. So I think CNN has actually done that, even though almost everybody else hasn't.
So the, you know, one of the spanking, everybody's talking about the DeSantis spanking of Chris. Chris didn't have a shot. I mean, I don't know why anybody is surprised that, you know, ooh, look how, you know, DeSantis overperformed. No, he really didn't. Okay, that was expected. Florida is pretty red, and I think Florida is almost exclusively 100% Democrat now. The one spanking nobody is talking about is Kristi Noem. She won with 61% of the vote last night.
You know, I don't know why nobody's talking about Kristi Noem and spanking, because those are my two favorite things in the same sentence.
I'm right.
Just saying. Oh, man. But no, honestly, I still think DeSantis performed better than a lot of people expected him to, especially since last election he barely scraped by. This time he was up by double digits and almost up to 20% at one point. I think it actually, by the time they tallied everything, it was like down to 19.2 or something, but still. That is a trouncing, especially in Florida. I think the funniest thing that I've seen is seeing people like Glenn Beck. It's like, I never thought I would have said this after what happened 22 years ago, but can we be more like Florida?
Right. Well, and you see, Florida, they didn't like being the laughingstock of the country anymore, so they fixed their shit.
Yeah.
As we used to say on CyberChill, they patched their shit.
Apparently, and they did it well enough that it actually works, and there apparently isn't any question about the results and all of the above. And remember,
and not just they did it in 5 hours.
Exactly. But I don't know. I mean, the biggest thing again in Florida, again, a lot of school districts flipped. I think.
Yeah.
I can't with 100% certainty say that it's completely so, but I know a lot of the state house is now Republican, if not all of it. I think they picked up almost every seat that was in play last night at the state level. And this is something that I've been talking about all day. The idea of swing states is pretty much dead, because what's been happening is we have a lot of people that started giving up on anybody fixing shit, and they've started voting with their feet. Depending on where they lean, you have a lot of red-leaning Democrats leaving New York for places like Florida and Tennessee. You have a lot of blue-leaning Democrats that are still, you know, pissed off about New York being completely over-oppressive, moving to places like Michigan. And I think if we look at some of the numbers in between the redistricting game that Michigan did last night, plus I'm sure there'll be a decent percentage of transplant voters, I think that's why Al is now finding himself in a red man in a blue state. Because, yeah, Michigan at the state level is toast.
Yeah. I was wondering how Governor Bukkake won again, but, yeah.
Well, I mean,
what cracked me up is when the whole election thing started, the very first results came in from Guam, and Guam had gone red for the first time in 37 years. And as Guam goes, so goes the country. And all the things were like, Guam has tipped.
I did see that.
Yeah, that was. It was actually for you young kids who don't get the joke. People were posting the video. For you young kids who don't get the joke, Hank Johnson was concerned with the buildup of military bases on the island of Guam that it would tip over.
Well, I mean, Hank Johnson's kind of a. Yes.
Yeah. And I can't. How is he still a rep?
I don't know, dude. You figure that sentence alone would have been enough to get him sent home. But then again, I mean, you can't really say stuff like that anymore. I mean, Jesus Christ, in Pennsylvania, they put a vegetable and a dead guy on the same ballot, and they both won.
Okay, the thing with the dead guy, that one, okay, that's an East Coast thing. Because remember when I was talking the other night how California, when we were talking about the worry about Nancy Pelosi's daughter taking over her district, I said name recognition isn't a really big thing in California. That's an East Coast thing, because you have a guy who died a month before, but you also have to think they're rejecting. They would rather just have straight neoliberal, you know, your normal Democrat than Green Party, to the point where they elect a dead guy.
Well, I honestly would like to get a look at the mechanics on the votes that swung his way, because I have a feeling a strong percentage of those were the ones that just said vote straight Democrat.
Probably, you know, just go straight ballot. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, they made a movie. Eddie Murphy made a movie about it. The Distinguished Gentleman is about dude getting into Congress just on name recognition. The other guy died. His name was close enough. He just, you know, pumped up his middle name rather than his last name. And there you go. He puts on the ballot, and they made fun of it. People go into the polls and go, who do we vote for? Well, we always vote for Johnson. You know, so because he had a similar name, he won. Yes, I know movies aren't real life, but that is, it's a thing.
Oh, I think as far as, you know, movies that I think most reflect this election, you remember the movie where Richard Pryor ran for office? None of the Above?
Yeah, Brewster's Millions.
Yeah. Kind of feeling like that was kind of the vibe for this election for the most part, because this is the part that I still can't wrap my head around in truth, because all of the exit polling showed that 75% of the country were both pissed off about the economy and thought the country was going in the wrong direction, yet that 75% of the country still basically voted for more of the same. How can both things be true?
I don't know that they voted for more of the same, though, because we keep talking about how the election, you know, at the local level flipped. So it's that just disgust at the national level where it's like, I have, you know, not even disgust. We'll call it distrust at the national elections, where they just didn't even, you know, they're not mad about it. You know, they're just whatever, you know, it doesn't matter what I vote because this person's going to win. And it's a defeatism. And, you know, that's that thing that we talk about where unless you're really plugged in, not like super online, but you're plugged into like we are and people in chat and everything else, we have an idea of what's going on. You know, your normal normie doesn't know, isn't paying attention to all that, doesn't know about libs of TikTok and all the other things. They just want, you know, they just see what's going on in their school district and say, I don't like that, but I'm still going to vote for the way I always vote on the rest of the things. Like my neighbor that I tell you about, you know, I ask her, I mean, all of her views are very right leaning, and she says she just votes Democrat because that's what she's always done.
Somebody explain that to me. I just don't get it. I align well with these folks, but because I've always voted for these folks, that's what I'm going to do.
But the thing is, she doesn't know that. Because she's a normie.
Okay.
I'm just slowly. It's that, you know, boiling a frog thing. I have to slowly work on her to get her to understand. It's like, that's not you. That may have been your party 40 years ago. That's not your party now. And I have to just slowly, you know, maybe in two elections I'll have her figure it out, and then she'll vote correctly in one election, and then she'll die, and then she'll go back to voting Democrat.
Possibly.
They're still trying to push masks.
Of course they are.
Yeah, it was so weird seeing people in masks yesterday. I mean, okay, I get it. And there's a really bad flu going around our area, really bad. The whole eastern side of California and up into western Nevada, all the way up into Reno, really bad flu going around. So I get people were concerned about that. But, I mean, you could tell that these were the very, very custom masks of the COVIDiots. So,
yeah, the ones that they took the time to make sure were like, you know, the ones that reflected their personality, yada yada.
Yeah.
If you,
the one they got on Etsy that's made out of old ripped up Bob Marley t-shirts.
If you're that invested in a mask, you and I probably shouldn't be talking.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, as we were talking about at the table last night, you're not allowed to talk politics, but you can talk like peripheral politics. And we were talking about masks. And, you know, when I went in to get my jab, yeah, I had to for work. So I'm in there and I've got my carpentry mask, which is triple filtered, you know, is very, very, very good mask. And I go walking in and I have to trade it in for a piece of shit mask that had made in China on the side of the box. I'm like, my mask is better than yours, sweetie. Do I really, really have to do this? Well, it's our policy. Okay, great. So now you're going to shove me in a room with 20 other people, no social distancing, and we're all wearing these crap masks. This isn't what you're talking about the solution is.
So here's what I want to know, because I'm still going through some of this stuff. Some of these numbers are still exactly where they were last night when EJ and I shut down the feed. Like Oregon's 5th District, which is currently running in the House, currently leaning red, and this is not a normal red area, at least not as I remember it, because normally in Oregon and Washington you have a clear split. On the one side of the mountains it's usually red, on the other it's normally blue or leans blue. This one is actually over the mountain line. Currently, the Republican is ahead 51.3% to 48.6%, but only 79% of the votes have been counted there last time this stuff was updated. I'm just like, why have we gotten to the point where so many races the day after still haven't been fucking called or figured out yet? It's just annoying.
Hang on. Just a sec. Please hold. Oh, sorry. Elections die behind a paywall. Let's try somewhere else.
Yeah. Kind of been running into that, too.
Historical election. Okay. Calm down, New York Times. You're not that important.
The New York Slimes.
Yeah, I can't even get it. I can't even bring it up. I've got Oregon's 5th Congressional District behind a paywall at New York Times. Everything else is about the May 17th primary.
Go figure.
Yeah, anyway, I can't get it. I was going to say, maybe there was an update. It was maybe on 538, I just haven't looked.
See if I can get back to what we were using last night.
And that picture would be from Flash Gordon with the Hawkmen and the annoyed broken nose guy. Sorry, Jeff just dropped a picture in chat.
It's all good. All right, so Yahoo News, which was the source we were using last night, is still, as of right now, as everything's still looking about the same where I've been able to find it everywhere else. Oregon's 5th District, also on this one, showing only 79% of the vote count, it's still leaning red. Same thing's going on in California right now, but that's California's 13th District, which I'm pretty sure is usually red anyway. Only 40% of the vote's been counted according to Yahoo News. When's the last update on that? They used to give it.
Okay, candidate quality. Okay, Nate, you need to just retire, dude. I'm on 538 just to see what they might have over there on it. And Nate Silver, candidate quality mattered. No, it didn't. You elected fucking Fetterman.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about candidate quality when you put a vegetable in the seat. Don't talk to me about candidate quality when you put a vegetable in the seat.
Yeah, according to 538, current results are 48-48 in the Senate, 211 in the House, and 22-24 for the governors.
Where are they showing 211 in the House? Because I'm showing 210 everywhere that I'm looking right now, so I'm curious to see which one they've called that nobody else has.
Okay, see full results. Okay, I don't want just the Senate. I want the House.
I mean, honestly, if they hadn't flipped 4 seats of their own, we'd be looking at a 20-seat flip in the House right now. So it's not. The more, okay. I mean, even though it's taking a while to get there, the house is shaping up like it is closer to what we expected. We were hoping anywhere between 20 to 40 seat flip. It looks like we may get pretty close to 20 by the time this is all said and done. We may, if we're expecting to be anywhere between 220 and 224, we may actually see anywhere between a 26 to 30 seat flip.
Okay, the ones that weren't just obvious Republican. You've got Iowa 3, New York 19, Texas 15, Virginia 2. Then the shockers are New York 17, New York 3, New York 4. Yeah, it's like we talked about. With all those surprises in New York. But I don't see where the newest one is that they've added to the nailed it. Oh, Iowa 3 from 5 hours ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they did call that one, but for some reason that's not showing up on anybody else's maps. Most everybody else still has it sitting around 210.
Yeah. And yay, Jeff, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Me too.
COVID took him down hard for a bit.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about it in the prep room for the specials. He was like,
I'm not in that room.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I know I am. I know I am.
I don't call it the playroom because Aggie makes it sound dirty when she says that.
Are you talking about the Algonquin Round Table?
Yeah, the one I'm trying not to pronounce because I'm super fucking tired.
Okay. Well, since we blew through the commercial, what are you watching, my friend?
What the fuck have I been watching? Let's see. I started watching How I Met Your Mother again, but it's more of a just kind of got it running in the background kind of thing. I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
And then, yesterday, because I woke up with a migraine, I kind of just hung around for a while. And so I actually binge-watched the newest season of Manifest, and I'm kind of pissed because there's apparently going to be another season of it, which I'm happy about because I thought this was supposed to be the last one. But, yeah, just one of those cliffhanger endings again. I'm like, really? I thought they said this was going to be the last one. I thought we were going to finally get answers. And, yeah, I guess it's they're only half done so far, so we'll see. So I've been watching that on Netflix. other than that, and really just been kind of, honestly, checking out some stuff on Pluto TV. Because Pluto has all those, if you have a show you like, Pluto has a channel on it where it's on, like, all the time. So I've been finding a lot of those. Like, I think Aggie would absolutely love Pluto TV if she hasn't been checking it out, because they have, like, an entire Matlock channel.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that, because they do it in kind of like the, remember the old Sci-Fi channel where they would do, like, 4 episodes of something and then just replay those 4 episodes over and over again?
Yep.
Like, okay. So, I got my mom on Pluto. I've just started leaning towards using it too, but I got her on it and she found the Highway to Heaven channel.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and she talked about how she had a crush on Michael Landon since the Ponderosa back in Gunsmoke days. So she's very happy to have that going on. And dude had kind of that, not quite a mullet, but you know, that feathered thing going on at the time, that's that must have been pretty hot back in
it was the precursor to the mullet, because it was like the feathered with the long backside. That was pretty big back then it kind of evolved into the mullet from there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, she's stoked on that. And I, you know, I'm just, like I said, I got back into Grimm right before Halloween, and I'm still in the campy phase, but that's when it was its best too.
Yeah.
You know, he just ran into the badger people or the beaver people. So, you know, that were kind of scoping his house because, yeah. Anyway, it's, you know, and I forget, it is a fun show. Yeah, it got dark and it tried to get serious for a while, but Grimm was a really fun show the first few seasons.
Yeah, no, it was. It really was. And honestly, that was one of the first things, because there was another show that was on around the same time that tried to have the same kind of vibe to it, Midnight Texas, and it just didn't hold on as well. But that's because Grimm did a better job of being campy.
Yeah.
But I actually
not even really campy, but just kind of like the way they did the episodic. I mean, yeah, they had their arc too, but they were episodic. But it was just kind of like the whole all the exposition required for explaining the Grimm universe. You needed to have the comic relief, which was Monroe.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't so much it was campy as it had an obvious comic relief, and he was the one who was the letting the audience in on everything. You know, Nick was the audience where I don't know what the fuck is going on, so you had Monroe explain it. I think that was a pretty good I think that was a pretty good way they did that. And yeah, Midnight Texas was fun too.
Yeah, I think I brought that up. It was either last week or the week before, because actually one of the guys, when I ran my security company, one of my lieutenants actually, as we started shutting everything down, started getting into the Hollywood scene and some of the local areas where they were starting to do filming in certain places, he'd actually moved out to one of those. And he was actually a featured extra on one of the Midnight Texas episodes. Which is funny, because they actually made him use his real name, and he was kind of mad about that. He's like, you can see my name, but they wouldn't let me use the one that I like to give everybody, because it had to be my real name. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because, yeah, he actually wound up with a named part in there, even though he was technically an extra. But I don't know. Kind of lost my train of thought. And I think I said this last week, too. I did rewatch most of Babylon 5, kind of, again, one of those mostly had it on while I was sleeping kind of things, but stopped at, episode 4, or season 4, episode 21, because season 4, episode 22 was trash, and then it rolled into 5, so neither one of those things exist in my headcanon, so.
Okay, so I refresh my memory, 22, that was the one where they did the whole time jump thing, everything, right?
Yeah, like the Flash 40 documentary thing.
Yeah, that episode was trash.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at that point, whoever was still showrunning B5 was just looking to keep money coming in, because it really should have ended at season 4, episode 21. It had the perfect exposition ending at the end, because Dylan said everything that happened in the last 30 seconds. They should have just left it alone.
Well, and the thing is that next episode of that, they could have actually used that in, because remember they were really starting to play in, like with, they had made for TV movies, miniseries and things like that.
Yeah.
Every one of those things would have been a good self-contained miniseries.
Yeah. And it could have been.
And they could have kept the franchise alive for decades.
Well, I think the reason they kind of started trying to shorten the B5 lifespan is they were trying to push everybody towards the Babylon Excalibur project.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that.
And that was trash.
Yeah. That's a repressed memory.
So much trash that you can't even find it anymore. Oh, yeah, something else that I've been watching, because it's on HBO Max, the most recent season of Pennyworth just dropped, so I've been checking that out.
Who what?
Pennyworth, the Alfred story, the
oh, right, yeah.
It was originally on, I think it was Epix, and then they dropped it, so HBO Max picked up the originals from Epix, and then they got so many views that they're like, hey, we'll keep this running, so they did season 3 a couple of years ago, right around COVID, then it took a while, so they just dropped season 4. Titans, the new season of that's out. I've seen the first 2 episodes of that so far. Oh, I did just finish watching all of the last season of Lower Decks. I really didn't think I was going to like that show, because it's like cartoon Star Trek, but it's funny as hell.
Okay, I'm going to go on record. Star Trek the Animated Series was probably one of the finest Treks. Okay, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but that was, you could do things on that. The special effects didn't lend itself to at the time.
Yeah.
And the thing I liked too is that they always broke the fourth wall. They were always looking at the camera and giving that sly little wink. It's like, yeah, we know this is ridiculous even for a cartoon.
See, I like the fourth wall breaks, and I think I talked about that, because one of the shows that I watched for forever, and I finally started getting back into watching it again. I don't watch it all the time anymore, but I'll usually kind of binge watch it on like a Saturday or something if I don't have anything to do, is Days of Our Lives. So there has been a recent shakeup there, so a lot of the regular cast have gone over. Actually, as of right now, the entire thing's been moved over to Peacock. So it's not even on broadcast NBC anymore. It's exclusively on the app. Well, they started another project that originally started on Peacock, which was a spinoff of Days. So a lot of the cast goes over there and shoots a few episodes here and there in the summer. Well, one of the guys that played one of the main characters was written off the show. So this last season, when it started up, all of a sudden he's back again. And I was like really confused for like 30 seconds because I could already tell that he was playing another character. Which they do that from time to time, because the guy that plays Brady has been played by two different characters, and now the guy that used to play Brady is playing somebody else. So it's not that uncommon over there. What they've never really done before, though, if a character is playing somebody new, is break the fourth wall. So at one point, this dude is actually picking a fight with someone, and actually starts kind of acting like he's going to choke them with a necktie. Well, the previous character in his original exposition phases was actually who was known as the Necktie Killer. Eventually they figured out that he was being drugged or some bullshit and made to think that he was crazy. I don't remember the exact story. So he's coming at them with this necktie, and he's like, "No, man, I'm just kidding. What do I look like, the Necktie Killer?" And it's the same dude. So those of us that are watching are like, actually, yes, you do, but that's fucking hilarious.
That's good.
But that's one of those things where a show's been around long enough that they're comfortable breaking the fourth wall. And that's kind of the thing. You don't really see that early on, but if a show gets comfortable enough in itself where it can actually start making fun of itself, that sometimes really goes over well for the audience. Sometimes it doesn't. But I actually like it when they break the fourth wall.
Yeah, I mean, if it's done well, I mean, you know, we've talked about how SG-1 has done it a few times very well. I've heard tell, now I'm going to have to go back and watch, that there were occasions that MASH would break the fourth wall too. And it seems out of character. I don't ever remember.
I don't remember that, but.
Yeah.
Then again, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where, I mean, that was back when it was just, you know, you watched whatever was on, and, you know, there are times when it's on that I'll sit down and watch it, but it's not anything that I ever just watch straight through from start to finish, which I think is the most interesting, because, like, with Star Trek, the original series, when they released the episodes, they released one of them out of order. So the episode where Sulu was stuck on a planet and freezing to death and they can't figure out how to get him back on the ship, they released it out of order because at the time they hadn't developed the shuttlecraft yet, but because they aired it out of order, it aired just after one of the first episodes with a shuttlecraft, and everybody's like, why the fuck didn't they just use the shuttlecraft? Well, they hadn't had the set money at the time to make, the prop money at the time to design the shuttlecraft shit set and everything else at the time they filmed that particular episode, so they weren't even aware that they had a shuttlecraft yet. But because they did it, because when they aired everything, they aired it out of order, everybody's just looking at it going, they just had a shuttlecraft last week. Where the fuck did that go? Why didn't they just send the shuttle down? But something else that I have rewatched recently, only because I got on a Star Trek, Star Wars kick, so I watched Andor. I did watch that all the way through. Well, then I got on a Star Wars kick, or Star Trek kick, because I got on a Star Wars kick. So I rewatched Star Wars 2, the original, The Wrath of Khan. I didn't realize how much shit didn't make any sense in that movie until I rewatched it again the other night. Because I'm thinking, like, the whole premise of this, right, is they're trying to find this dead, lifeless planet to be able to set off this Genesis device, right? So they're in this solar system looking for what they thought was SETI Alpha 6, and it turns out they found SETI Alpha 5 instead, where Khan was left stranded by James Kirk from the original series. My question, you know, we're talking about a starship, which actually has the ability to scan the solar system. How the fuck did they not realize an entire planet was missing?
Yeah. And
I was thinking about it. I mean, granted, I was 8 when I watched that movie, so it never. And honestly, I've watched it several times since then, and it never really. And it's just a weird thing to think about because okay. It never occurred to okay. me. But I'm like, we're talking about a starship. How the fuck did they not know a planet was missing?
Okay, you know why? Because fuck you. That's why. Just watch the movie.
There was something else that I picked up on at the time too that made zero sense, and I'm like, oh my god! But yeah, but that just shows.
Well, okay, you. Some of that we've talked about before too is that Star Trek the Motion Picture was so over budget that they had to borrow from Wrath of Khan to finish it. So. And yeah, because the budget for Star Trek II was already in play before and that's where you get into some accounting fuckery too, where Star Trek I was a huge blockbuster, but Star Trek II wasn't because of the money bullshit. But yeah, so I imagine a lot of the money that like would have been hiring somebody to do continuity.
Yeah. There was definitely Damn. Some continuity issues there. Yeah. And there was something else that I thought, hey, I wish I could think of the second thing that had occurred to me when I was rewatching that. I still really, I mean, honestly, the old axiom is still true, even numbered Trek films don't suck, but just the idea of, you know, you're talking about a starship dropping into a system. They didn't actually think to scan and say, hey, isn't there supposed to be at least 6 planets in the solar system? Why is there only 5? What the fuck happened? Just thinking, all I know is, I think the Reliant science officer needs to be fired.
Yeah, I mean, because all that happened because of, you know, dude just forgot to scan for life forms.
Oh, that's what it was. So they're scanning this planet, which they think is SETI Alpha 6, and it's actually SETI Alpha 5. But at the time, the reason they originally beamed down was because they found what they thought was a microscopic life form. So you're telling me that somehow they didn't realize there were actual humanoids on that planet that was also not
and
the
little
they were actually looking for?
Worm things that they put into Chekhov's ear?
Well, we'll let that part slide, because maybe those were the ones they thought were kind of coming across as looking like microbes or some shit. But how did you miss humans, bro? If you're scanning
yes,
for life
that
forms,
many of them.
How did you miss humans? Thank you for bringing that up, because that reminded me of the other part. I'm just watching it going, what the fuck now? So this is 2 science officer fails, which honestly I think was Chekhov, because Chekhov was the first officer, and I also think he was the science officer, because that seemed to be a thing in the original Star Trek universe. The first officer always seemed like they were the science officer. So everything that happened in Star Trek II and Spock eventually dying were all Chekhov's fault. Just let that sink in. All because he didn't know how to use a scanner properly.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, what else you got going on?
But Ricardo Montalban, so you know. Yeah. I just can't watch it without thinking about, you know, his attire being fine Corinthian leather.
I kept waiting for Tattoo to show up. The plane. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
The plane. Didn't happen.
Nope. Damn it. Dad, burn it.
All right, well, we should probably get out of here because I'm 3.5 hours in and I'm getting loopy. What else you got going on this week?
Rex in chat. You know, yeah, Con was an asshole, but man, did he have a point.
Nice. What else you got going on this week?
Oh, we got Jux this week.
We kind of need to figure that out, huh?
Yeah, we put one on the back burner so we could do the month of ghosts, and we'll talk about that after the show. If we want to do that, or if you got something else on your mind, because I know you've been working on a theory too about, you know, the golden circle and
and that was one of the ones that we back burnered to get around for the Halloween stuff. So yeah, I hadn't really thought about that yet.
And then there was the Plum Island one, too, and how the U.S. government never talks about Lyme disease.
Actually, we should probably do the Plum Island one first.
Okay. Yeah, because we've got that all researched out. We had that one plotted out.
Because that'll give me 2 weeks to get the rest of the whole Golden Circle shit lined out a little better. So, yeah, we'll do Plum Island this week because all the research is
okay.
There.
Excellent. So, yeah, Juxtaposition Saturday night, we will be talking about Plum Island and did the U.S. government invent Lyme disease there, and why does the U.S. government never speak of Lyme disease?
Because they invented it, you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, there we go. There's your juxtaposition. We'll see you in 3 weeks.
Well, no, we haven't actually proven that they've invented it, so we're not done yet.
Anyway, that's the plan. What do you got going on?
Actually, that'll be it for me this week, except for Jux, I guess. Except I have a baby shower on Sunday, so that should be fun. My second cousin is having a baby, so. Yay. More babies.
Yay. Your family does a lot of that.
Well, you know, we live in the Midwest, dude. We got nothing else to do. Make babies.
Yeah. You got to do something in the bunker when the tornadoes are swinging by.
Gotta make the babies.
Got to make the babies. All right. Well, cool.
All right. Well, apparently I accidentally closed the song I was going to go out with, so I think we're just going to load something else real quick. So hang on just a second, because I'm too tired to fuck around anymore. Where'd you go? We'll go with this one. It's kind of got a vibe to it. All right, we're going to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us for the Wednesday night editions of Chat Lives Matter stuff here on KLR and Radio. I haven't figured out if Jen is going to be doing a show with me tomorrow. And if she says no, I may actually be taking the night off because I've already done like 10 hours of radio this week. Actually 12 hours of radio this week. I think I might be done till Saturday because that gives me time to get caught back up on the research. But since Jen hasn't done a show for a while, if she has words, we'll figure it out. But this is pretty much how I feel after last night's election. So we're going to bring the volume up on this, let you listen to it on the way out. And again, thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Jam out with your clam out.
Clock out with your cock out.